Jean, I didn't forget about that.
We're just running a little late today.
That's okay, we can still celebrate. We can still celebrate, praise the Lord. Yeah, I gave that to Brother Paul, thanks for the info. Yeah, he'll give it to his pastor, and I'm sure they'll make it.
Oh, that's fine.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Well, good morning. All right, praise the Lord. We're going to start out by saying our pledges this morning. If you stand, if you can. Happy early 4th of July. And no evening church services tonight, so folks can spend time with their other families. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Amen.
Check one, check two. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Everybody living? Glad to be on this side of the green grass. Hallelujah, amen. Got a few announcements for you this morning. There'll be no evening service tonight. Enjoy your 4th of July weekend with your family. And remember, this is a big weekend. Y'all going to look back at me? All right, I'll walk up here if you're going to look back at me. Hey, looking for me, man. Where's that voice? Where's that voice from above? Is your mic on?
Yeah.
Will you turn it on? Yeah, will you turn it on?
Okay, it's on now.
Thank you, sir. All right, very good. Got a few announcements for you today. No evening service tonight. And, you know, we talk about this. Pastor Lee always makes a mention because my dad was a victim of a drunk driving accident. So if you're going to get together and imbibe with one another or your family does that, please don't let anybody drive off drunk. Amen. Taketh the keys. Let them sleep it off on the couch. Call them an Uber. Do whatever you need to do. Don't let anybody leave your premises. And I know you get these family gatherings and you're like, you're trying to keep them from over-serving themselves, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. But anyway, don't let anybody drive off. Amen? You got that? All right, praise the Lord. Yeah, give the Lord a hand for that. Amen? Then we got some birthdays. Got some birthdays for you, but hold on. We got a leadership meeting on July 16th. Leadership meeting on July 16th. Is that 2 weeks out? What's today, the 2nd? No, is it? All right, so that's 2 weeks out. So 2 weeks, July 16th, 1:30, that's a leadership meeting. If you have a church directory, open it up. If your name is on the inside of that front cover, you need to be at that meeting. Amen? Leadership meeting, July 16th, 1:30. And then we got Vacation Bible School. Woo! Amen! BBS! BBS is going to go July 18th through the 20th. And they're going to start that thing at 12 o'clock in the afternoon and go all the way to 8. No, I'm just kidding. They're going to start at 6 p.m. and go to 8 p.m. Amen? So that's 3 days from 6 to 8 p.m., and it promises to be an awesome time, Vacation Bible School. Amen? Will y'all be praying for that? And then next Sunday, which will be the 9th, yeah, today's the 2nd. Next Sunday in the a.m. service, we'll be observing the Lord's Supper. Okay, communion, that's coming up next Sunday. And then here's our birthdays. Are we ready, Marley? Marley, how old are you going to be, girl? How old? You going to be 9? Ooh, all right. Marley's having a birthday mañana, tomorrow, July 3rd. Way to go, Marley Trevathan. All right, Miss Jackie, you're up next. Miss Jackie's like, don't be asking me how old I am. Jackie McBride, she's 39 one more time. Amen. And then Mr. Justin Heibarger watching us there on the live stream. Live stream folks, good to have you with us today. Everybody give Justin a round of applause. Amen. All right. Out there serving our country. He is July the 7th. And Justin, early happy birthday to you, son. And then Vince Kimball, July 8th. Vince not in the house. He's probably working at the fire station, I'm assuming. Or they're traveling in their RV with some grandkids. Who knows? They're busy. Terry and Vince, busy, busy, busy. All right, any other birthdays in the house? No more birthdays? Did we get them all? All right, any other announcements in the house? Oh, we got one? 21 on the 6th. All right, Dad, way to go. Amen. What's her name? Say it again. Mia. All right, Mia. So we got Mia. We got Marley. We got Jackie. We got Justin. We got Vince. Busy month. Two more hands. What do we got? Well, we'll get you next time. We always do a couple days in advance, but hey, happy early birthday. But we'll sing to you special when we get real close. Amen. All right. Any others? Huh? Okay. Sign up. Amen. All right. And we'll have to come. If you don't sign up, we'll have to come by and round you up.
All right, let's sing.
All right. Amen. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. All right, we're going to keep on singing with You Are My All in All.
Thank you.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in. Strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Praise the Lord.
Just lift our hearts toward heaven
and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Amen. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fate, his lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to men make holy, let us live to make men free. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. We can almost hear the trumpet sound. The Lord's return is near. There are still so many people lost. His message they must hear. Father, give us one more moment, one more day, just one more year. With God we're marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Amen.
Dear Father, we just come here today to worship your holy name, to lift you up on high, the Almighty God, creator of all things. Lord, we just thank you for everything you've given us. We give you all the praise and glory. Lord, we just thank you for any visitors we have here today. Lord, we welcome them. And Lord Jesus, we just pray that everybody that's traveling and out there this 4th of July weekend are safe, just be safe. And Lord, to get them back home safely, Lord, as they enjoy this 4th of July weekend. Lord, we do thank you for our independence, Lord. We thank you for our freedom, Lord, and all the ones that died for that, Lord, for us. Lord, we are a blessed nation to be free and do what we want to do. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we just ask you to be with our pastor this morning as he brings a message. Lord, just put the message on his heart. Let it be spoken like you want it spoken, Lord. We just ask the Holy Spirit to flow through this church and touch each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, and let the word be spoken through the power of the Spirit. And Lord, we just again thank you for everything you've given us. We just give a small portion back, Lord, and we thank you for everything and all these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. My native country, thee, land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills like that above. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all that breathe partake, let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. Our fathers, God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King. Amen.
Amen. All right. Children's church today? Anybody going? I don't know. Is it happening? Children's church happening. Okay. All right. All right. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You got to wait. You got to wait. They're already gone. Oh, Miss Jackie going to get you now. Miss Jackie ain't playing all that now. All right. Amen, brother. Thank you, Miss Kathy. Take one for the team, girl. All right. Amen. Very good. All right. Y'all ready? 4th of July holiday weekend. Guess what? I'm bringing in 2 barrels. I'm not holding back. Here we go. We'll see. Those of you with us online, good to have you. We had a Greek and Hebrew professor. No. Just teaches. Yeah, we had a Messianic Jew in our Sunday school today. That's incredible. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand, man. All right. Now, she came to Sunday school. I'm hoping she'll be back, and that'd be awesome blossom. Amen. So she had a Hebrew Bible. She had a Hebrew Bible with her in Sunday school. That's amazing. Amazing to me. Those of you visiting with us today, thank you for being here. We pray for visitors each and every week. It's awesome to see God answer that prayer. Amen? He's a God that wants to answer our prayers, right? And those of you with us online, some of you are visiting as well, not part of this church as far as membership, but you're watching online. Good to have you visiting with us as well. Amen? Got a lot going on. If you're ever bored, you need something to pray about, just call Pastor Lee. I'll load your wagon. We've got 3 members in the hospital right here right now. 3 members. So Marilyn Davlin, Sandra Capps, and her son, Ritt. So all in the hospital, HCA Tomball. One's heat stroke, that's Ritt. And then Sandra's breathing issues. And then Miss Marilyn, she's got something going on with that leg, some kind of infection that they're trying to treat with antibiotics. So anyway, a lot going on. Amen. All right, well, if you have a copy of God's Word, take it and turn to Colossians chapter 2. Let's stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. I'll begin here in verse 6, and we'll take it through verse 10. Colossians 2, verse 6 through verse 10. All right, those of you with us online, Colossians 2, beginning in verse 6 all the way through verse 10. Have you found it? Amen, amen? All right, the Word of God reads this. It says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for the reading of Your Word. We pray that You would certainly be in the midst of this message, Lord, and we pray that our hearts would be open to receive it. Thank You for all You do for us, how You bless us, Lord, how You help us, how You use us in spite of us, God. Nobody perfect here today. We all have our struggles and our failings, and we're all trying to work through stuff. We have burdens and issues. But Lord, even in the midst of that, if we'll just lean on You, get in Your Word, pray, You'll work through us. We praise You and thank You for that. Lord, we pray for those that need to make decisions for Christ. Perhaps they're here with us. Perhaps they're watching online. But Lord, we pray that as the Word of God is preached, that individual, those individuals would be one step closer, perhaps even to the point of where they're ready to go down that old Romans road to salvation. Father God, may it happen today for somebody. We're thankful that we have a free country where we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, the title of the message is simply a question, all right? And it is, are you the metaphor you ought to be? Are you the metaphor? What in the world's a metaphor? That's a figure of speech, right? Figure of speech. It's something that represents something else. Like we say, it's raining cats and dogs, right? Well, it's not really raining cats and dogs, but the drops are so big when they hit your car or they hit your house, you think there's a cat falling from the sky, landing on something. Amen. It's raining cats and dogs, right? Or we say, that person, they smoke like a chimney. What are we saying when we say that? That's a metaphor. Well, they probably a two-pack, maybe a two-and-a-half-pack a day smoker. Every other thing they just got, they puffing one after the other. Smoke like a chimney, right? Amen? You get it? Metaphor? I want to share another one with you. In his book entitled Disappointment with God, His Words Not Mine, I'm not disappointed with God. Amen? Are you disappointed with God? No, I'm not, but His words, Disappointment with God, Philip Yancey, great author, great theologian, he offers a powerful metaphor for the church. He says this. This is what he wrote in the book. He said, I have a bright, talented, and very funny friend in Seattle. Her name is Carolyn Martin. But he goes on to write. He says, but Carolyn has cerebral palsy. And it is the peculiar tragedy of her condition that its outward signs of drooling, flopping arm movements, inarticulate speech, and a bobbing head cause people who meet her to wonder if she's mentally challenged. Actually, he says, her mind is the one part of her that works perfectly. It is muscular control that she lacks. He goes on to write, everyone on campus knew Carolyn as the disabled person. They would see her sitting in a wheelchair, hunched over, painstakingly typing out notes on a device called a Canon communicator. Few felt comfortable talking with her. They could not follow her jumbled words, but Carolyn persevered, stretching out a 2-year Associates of Arts degree program over 7 years, but she finished. Next, she enrolled in a Lutheran college to study the Bible. After 2 years of study there, she was asked to speak at that school's chapel service. Well, Carolyn, she worked many hours on her address. She typed out the final draft at an average speed of 45 minutes a page. And then she asked her friend Josie to read it for her. Josie had a strong, clear voice. On the day of the chapel service, Carolyn sat. She sat slumped in her wheelchair on the left side of the platform where the podium was, where Josie would be speaking. At times, her arms jerked uncontrollably. Her head lolled to one side, almost to the point where it touched her shoulder. And at times, there were streams of saliva running down her blouse. Beside her stood Josie, though, who read the mature and graceful prose Carolyn had composed, centered around this Bible text. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. For the first time, Yancey writes in his book, he says, for the first time, some students saw Carolyn as a complete human being, just like themselves. Before then, her mind, a very good mind, had always been inhibited by a disobedient body. And difficulties with speech had masked her intelligence. But hearing her address read aloud as they looked at her on stage, the students could see past the body in a wheelchair and imagine a whole person. Carolyn told me about that day. Philip Yancey recounting this. He said, Carolyn told me about that day in her halting speech. He writes, I could only understand about half the words. But the scene she described became for me a parable of transposition. What do we mean by transposition? He goes on to write. He said, a perfect mind locked inside a spastic, uncontrolled body and vocal cords that fell at every second syllable. And this is what he wrote that really grabbed me. He said, the New Testament image of Christ as head of the body took on a new meaning as I gained a sense of both the humiliation that Christ undergoes in his role as head and also the exaltation that he allows us, the members of his body. Amen, church? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, in this passage, that's a metaphor for the church. Carolyn, cerebral palsy, beautiful mind, disobedient body. That's a metaphor. But friend, in this passage, there are at least five powerful metaphors, pictures to help us visualize the Christian life. You ready for them? You ready for them today? See, the reason the Bible uses, the reason the Holy Spirit prompted Paul to write this, the reason the Bible uses a variety of images to describe who we are in Christ is because a single picture can never exhaust the riches and depth of our relationship with Him. Isn't it a beautiful relationship that we have with Jesus? Amen? So metaphor number one, if you're taking notes, a walker on the right path. And I'm not talking about one of those aluminum things that folds out that helps you get from place to place when you can't quite walk. I'm talking about you as a walker. You're walking on the right path. Look at verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him. Got it? Now, the NIV says, live with Him. And that's okay. That's a good translation. But the King James Version, the New American Standard Version, the New King James Version, other translations correctly captures the meaning when they describe talking about walking in Him. Now, when we think about the word walk in the Greek word is peripateo, from which we get our word peripatetic. Now, I have never used peripatetic in a sermon that I know of. I don't even think I've used peripatetic in a paper in school. I don't think I ever used peripatetic. So what in the world does peripatetic mean? It means traveling from place to place, in particular, working or based in various places for relatively short periods. Peripatetic. You're traveling, you're working, you're going. You're always on the move, right? But whenever Paul used that word, peripateo, it was meant to describe a person's lifestyle. It's like when we say, you got to walk the, you got to walk the talk. Yeah, you got to walk the talk. Amen? We speak of life as a walk, and not always a walk in the park, is it? Right? Life's not always a walk in the park, is it? Oh, no, man. Life is tough sometimes. I like walking in the park, right? Let me tell you something about our walk with the Lord. We all start out walking in the wrong direction. Every single one of us. And Jesus tells us we are all walking down a wide road leading to destruction. But salvation for us is realizing the offer of eternal life, realizing the offer of the relationship, and all of a sudden we do an about face. We turn around. And we start going in the opposite direction. That's what the Bible calls repentance, right? Repentance. Well, in order to start walking on the salvation road, we must receive Jesus as our Lord, not merely as Savior. He's got to be both Savior and Lord, Lord and Savior. You get that? You cannot be one without the other, friend. It's not an either-or proposition. It's a both-and statement. It's a both-and faith. Amen? He's fire insurance, but he's also in charge. Isn't he right? He's Lord. Yeah, amen. And then we keep on walking in faith. Walking in faith is not always easy, is it? No. But walking itself involves faith. Just physical walking involves faith. When you think about it, when you think about walking, walking is actually risky business. You probably met somebody that's broke a hip trying to walk. Amen. Falling over. Think about it for a moment. In order to walk, you have to lean forward until you're beginning to fall. And then you throw that other foot to catch yourself. And then as you pivot on that foot, you start to lean forward to fall again. And you throw that other foot to catch yourself. And you keep doing that over and over again, regaining your balance every time you fall forward. That's called walking. Amen? That's what it is. We've conditioned ourselves. But every step requires faith and action. Every step we walk requires faith and action. The idea of walking here in the context is to remind us we cannot stand still. We must keep on progressing in the Christian life. Being born again is the first step. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen, that's step one. But then we must take the step of baptism. Amen? And then we must take the step of church membership, right? And then the step of service. Oh, it's getting quieter in here now. We got the service. The step of service. Amen? And then the step of discipleship. Yes? And we keep on walking and walking, and the walking never ends until Jesus calls us home. Yeah, yeah? See, the Christian life is not like riding one of those people movers at the airport. I wonder if they still have those. It's been so many years since I've been in an airport. I don't like flying anymore, by the way. Do you? I see all this stuff on the news about people getting on an airplane, can't get on an airplane, stuck on an airplane, can't get on an airplane, flight's been canceled 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, don't know where their luggage is. I'd just soon drive. Amen? I'd just soon get in my car and drive, right? But back in the day, and they may still have them, they had them at Love Field because we used to get on them. But they call people movers. It's just a belt, right? And it's running from one end of the concourse all the way to the other. It's got places where you can get on and get off. You just kind of step on it. Have your bag to your side. And it just carries you on the road, man. You just keep on going. And if you walk on it, you're really moving fast. Amen? But most people don't walk. They just get there and stand, right? Well, the Christian life's not like that. It's not like getting on that and being moved around by some mechanical thing. You must continue to place one foot in front of the other and keep walking in faith and walking in the Spirit. Amen. Metaphor number two. Are you ready for it? We're going to transition here. Metaphor number two. Each of these metaphors is a slight transition. Metaphor number two. What is it, preacher? It's right there in the text, verse 7. It is a tree. It is a tree. What should we think about when we say tree? Well, we need to dig deep to grow tall. How do we do that? With roots, amen? With roots. Remember that bad storm that blew through here? What was that, a week and a half ago? People's power was off for several days. Some of you, bless your heart, that's awful, right? Some of the trees, right? Now, some of the trees were just twisted off about two-thirds of the way up. But some of the trees actually blew over because their roots had been compromised. They didn't have a strong root system. I remember watching on the news, I saw one big old tree, and it had rooted up underneath somebody's driveway. And when that sucker came down, it popped that driveway up like it was a piece of plywood. It was unbelievable to me to see the force of nature like that, right? But look at verse 7 with me. Having been firmly rooted. You see that? Everybody say rooted. One more time. Rooted. Amen? What does it say? Having been firmly rooted. Now, there's an old proverb that says, don't change horses in midstream, right? Don't you change that horse in midstream. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul's doing here. He's changing horses. He's changing metaphors in the middle of his stream of thought. He goes from a walking metaphor to a forestry metaphor, a tree being firmly rooted. Now, this change, it sounds like a crazy contradiction. I don't think Paul knows what he's talking about. In the first metaphor, we are told we should walk. But preacher, that implies movement. But in the second, pastor, you're telling us to be rooted. What in the world? Which one is it? Amen? Well, as we began, what did I say? I said, you got to get it. Understand, when we talk about the Christian life, there is no single metaphor that can do justice to the richness and variety of the Christian life. You getting it? Understand that when we talk about the Christian life, no single metaphor can do it justice. See, when Jesus told the parable of the sower, he spoke of some people whose lives are like plants growing in shallow soil, and when the heat of the sun beat down on the plants. In other words, when trouble comes, is trouble coming? You're either coming out of it or going into it, right? When trouble comes, the plants withered. For a plant to really thrive, for a plant to really take off, it must have a strong, deep root system. That's why some people wither. When adversity comes into their lives, they're not deeply rooted in Jesus. Now, I grew up in a small little town called Duncanville, southwest of Dallas. A little suburb up there. They've had the hot weather, too. I was talking to my mother this past week, 2 days ago. Yeah, talking to Mom 2 days ago. And we were talking about... Boy, this reminds me of 1980. Remember 1980? Oh, my soul, 1980, man. It was so hot in 1980. I was talking to somebody yesterday. I said, you remember 1980? They said I was born in 1984. I said, never mind. But if you were alive, you know what I'm talking about, 1980. We had one window unit in that three-bedroom house, and the fan motor went out. And friend, it got so hot, I think I was about 12, 13 at the time, teenager. I was already half crazy. You know, teenagers are half crazy, amen. I was half crazy and there was no AC. I thought we were all going to kill each other, right? We survived, amen. Dad got the fan motor, we got it in and got the air going back up. But growing up in Dallas, you know what we don't have in Dallas? We don't have them here. I haven't seen any yet. Tumbleweeds. You ever seen a tumbleweed? Yeah, tumbleweeds. Now, I'll never forget the first time I saw real tumbleweeds. Not on the movies, not in a Western. Me and Stephanie, we were driving a college and career group to New Mexico for a ski trip. Down at Gardendale Baptist Church, serving down there, we're in the college and career ministry. Very beginning of my ministry. Been a long time ago, probably almost 30 years. And I remember as we were busting through West Texas, and we had either crossed the border into New Mexico, hadn't got to the mountains yet, of course. We were on flat ground. The terrain was flat. I can't remember. We were still in West Texas. We were in New Mexico. But all of a sudden, rabbits like you could not shake a stick at, prairie dogs. Are you kidding me? Man, where are they coming up with all these prairie dogs? And tumbleweeds. You look, tumbleweed. Look over here, tumbleweed. Tumbleweed, tumbleweed, right? Well, what happens to tumbleweeds? What happens to them when the wind starts blowing? What happens to them? What does a tumbleweed do? Well, preacher, they travel with the wind. They call tumbleweeds, preacher. That's right. Sadly, too many Christians are like tumbleweeds. They face the danger Paul described in Ephesians 4 when he spoke of Christians who are blown about by every wind of doctrine. Now, let me share something with you about tumbleweed Christians. We've all known Christians who got sucked up into every new fad and fashion that comes along, which really isn't new. It's all just rehashed, repackaged stuff. That's all it is. Ain't nothing new. A tumbleweed can become a big plant, but it lacks deep roots. That's why it's dead blowing around. Deep roots in people as well as plants do what? Create stability, provide security. Do you know what kind of tree has the deepest roots? I'm going to tell you if you don't. It's a fig tree. A fig tree. That's a biblical thing, isn't it? Fig trees. There's a fig tree in South Africa with roots that descend some 400 feet down into the bedrock. Now, the only kind of trees that can survive drought, the only kind of trees that can survive storms that blew through here a week and a half ago, are trees with roots that tap down deep into the ground. Are you hearing me? You feeling it? Deep roots create strength and seek out nourishment. Right? The only kind of Christian who can survive periods of personal storms and emotional droughts are those who have sunk deep roots into the nourishment and stability that the bedrock of Jesus gives. The psalmist described this kind of person when he wrote in Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, he says, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Now, a walker, we've already covered. That pictures movement. That pictures progress. That's us, right? A tree represents depth and stability. That's us. The next time you look at a big oak tree, and those are my favorite, pine trees, you can have them. Amen. I don't have any more pine trees on my property, but if I did and you wanted it, I'd say, well, come on. Amen. You split the cost of taking that sucker down. You take all the wood you want. I'll tell them to cut it long. Don't cut it short. Cut it long. Man, you can have all the pine tree you want. But oak trees, oh, I love oak trees. The next time, y'all been to that, those of you that have been to Peachtree Nursing Home, Peachtree Assisted Living, over there off of Peachtree, they got a beautiful giant oak tree. They got a chain around it, hold that sucker up. You know, they go up, and then they start to go out. Amen? You got to help them out a little bit. My Wood Forest branch, we bank at Wood Forest over there across from Lowe's. You pulling around through the drive-thru. They got a beautiful oak tree in there. Amen? They didn't cut it down, praise the Lord. When they put up the building, they kind of built the building around the oak tree. They got up steel supports for some of the limbs. Oak tree, beautiful, amen? Whenever you see one of those guys, whenever you see one of those oak trees, remember, an oak is just a little nut that refused to give up its ground. That's all an oak tree is. Will you be little nuts for me? Amen. And don't give up your ground. That's the kind of perseverance. That's the kind of tenacity that we need. Little nuts that will not give up their ground. Preacher, I resemble that remark. Amen. I do too. Amen. Little nut, I'm not giving up the ground. All right? Metaphor number three. You ready for it? All right, number three. Here we go. Metaphor number three is a student. A student, apply. You've got to apply. You've got to apply what you have learned. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at verse 7. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, taught. Instructed, depending on your translation, taught. And overflowing with gratitude. Do you see it? What does Paul do here? Preacher, he's as bad as you. He's all over the place. Paul changes metaphors again to picture a student. Every Christian should be a student of God's Word. I'll take a drink on that. Come on now. But not just a student. One who applies what he learns. Yes, yes. When you are a student in school, you have many subjects. You have several textbooks. But for a Christian, we only need one textbook. It's called the Word of God. Now, friend, when I approach this holy desk up here, this holy ground that I'm privileged to get to stand on each and every time I come before you, I study for each of these, man. I put my heart, my soul. If I'm not exhausted by the time I leave here on Wednesday night or Sunday morning, I feel like I just didn't, I didn't do what God called me to do. Amen. I prayerfully study and seek to prepare to deliver each message delivered in this place. Why do you do that? There's a call on my life, but why do you do that? My hope is that each time you get here, each time you come through the doors, you will hear and experience God's truth revealed in Scripture. Now, for some of you, it may have been a long time since you picked up your Bible and really read it. Asking the Holy Spirit to reveal God's truth to you. Your Bible may be somewhere in the back of your car. Your Bible may be on a shelf somewhere in your home. But let me encourage you here. Simply soaking in God's Word once a week in front of Pastor Lee will not transform your life. Spiritual transformation does not work that way. It takes more than one time a week. It takes more than being in the Word twice a week or three times a week. How often do you eat? There you go. There you go. Let me be honest with you here. The reason God wants you to be familiar with and learn about the Bible is so you will make the choice to obey it and put it to use in your daily life. At work, put it at use in your daily life. At home, put it in use in daily life in your relationships. Right? Amen? Now, I'm going old school here. Can I go old school? All right, I'm going old school. 20 years ago. Some of you think, that ain't old school, preacher. You got to get further back than that. Old school for me. Amen? I'm a young guy. 20 years ago, there was a Super Bowl commercial that poked fun at the Castaway movie. Starring Tom Hanks. I cannot believe it's been that long since that movie came out. FedEx. Remember in the movie he was working for FedEx? FedEx ran a commercial spoofing the movie Castaway, right? In the film, Tom Hanks, he plays a FedEx executive who survived. He's the only survivor of that plane crash out in the Pacific, stranded on an uncharted, deserted island for years, right? That's kind of how it goes. The movie ends and the commercial begins with Hanks' character. Now, it's not Tom Hanks. It's somebody else playing Tom Hanks. But Hanks' character, he's coming up to a house. He's delivering a dirty FedEx package that washed up on the island while he was stranded there. He didn't open the package. He thought about the privacy that he needs to uphold. He's a FedEx employee. He needs to keep it all together. He's still a company man, and so he never opened that package. And here he is, he's showing up 5 years later with this FedEx package. It's dirty, it's tattered, it's all, you get it, right, amen? But the commercial, it goes a step further. After he delivers the package, the person playing the castaway, he asked the recipient at the front door, he says, I always wondered what was in the package. Can you tell me? Well, she's standing there at the door with him. She says, well, just hold on, wait a minute. The recipient, she tears that little perforated thing, and she goes, oh, yeah, sure, this nothing really. She pours out, she goes, there's a satellite phone in here. There's a GPS locator in here. There's a fishing rod in here. And oh, by the way, look at this little water purifier. And there's some seeds in here as well. It was everything. Everything that Tom Hanks needed to survive. To be found. To be rescued. She remarks to him as the commercial ends, just silly stuff. Just silly stuff. Pretty funny, amen? Yeah. As followers of Jesus, everything you need to handle life is already in the Bible. Already in there. But simply toting it around with you on Sunday morning, not going to change you. No. Or having a sense of pride that you have a Bible app on your phone, not going to change you. You have to open up the Bible, whether in app form or hard copy form, and use it. You got to read it. You got to receive it. You got to have understanding about it. Amen? But understand something here, friend. Fullness in Christ is not about filling up your schedule with more Bible studies and sermons. Preacher, you're confusing me. Don't be confused. You've got to apply what you learn. Can I be honest with you? Some of the meanest, most vile, cynical people I have ever come across have been people who had a full calendar of Bible studies. They attended a Bible study every other day. What's going on, preacher? They're not applying what they learn. Come on, hello. Amen? You feeling it? All right. I told you it was coming double barrel today. Amen? As followers of Jesus, everything we have is right here with us. Amen? Paul gives us the picture of a student who not only learns God's Word, but also puts what he or she knows into action in everyday life. You ready for metaphor number four? Say, preacher, I don't know, man. Well, let's do it. Let's do metaphor. Let's don't end it now. Let's do metaphor number four. That's a fountain. How many of you like water fountains? Oh, I like me a good water fountain. Amen. Metaphor number four is a fountain. Let Jesus' life overflow. Yes, yes. Look at that verse 7 again. I'm going to pick it up halfway. In your faith, just as you were instructed, that's that student that applies, and overflowing with gratitude. Your Bible say thankfulness, thanksgiving, gratitude, thanksgiving. You get the point. Amen? One of the ways in which Jesus' personality overflows our lives is by how we talk. Your mouth is a good indicator of the condition of your heart. Just as you can hear a fountain overflowing, you can identify an overflowing Christian by sound. Listen to him or her. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? Jesus says, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. You agree with that passage? Jesus' word's not mine. So if your heart is full of bitterness, if your heart is full of anger, if your heart is full of cynicism, if your heart is full of filth, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. But if your heart is filled with Jesus, it will also come out in the way you talk as well. Amen? Now, not only is a fountain pleasing to the eyes, it's also pleasing to the ears, isn't it? Yeah? There's just something soothing about the sound of water. At the wedding venue that I occasionally officiate weddings, right around the corner from my house, I mean, it's easy to get to. Jurgens Road, next to the park, down there where they play that pickleball, just come back a little bit. toward Zion, and you'll run into Ella's Garden, little wedding venue there. Praise the Lord, they're not wanting outdoor weddings right now, amen? Nothing like being in a suit and tie and standing in 100-something degree weather, right? So everybody's opting for indoor right now, but when it's cooler and we're getting ready to do an outdoor wedding, before everybody starts to walk down, about the time when the owner of the wedding venue says, okay, we're 5 minutes out, you folks need to move from the chapel and outdoors to your seats, we're about to begin the ceremony. She'll walk over to a side of the building and she'll flip a switch. And what she does is beautiful, large rock fountain begins to flow. Oh man, it's gorgeous. As outdoor weddings kick off and she switches that on, the water starts flowing and the sound is incredible. It kind of sets the tone for the ceremony. I mean, it's just beautiful, man. Well, in the same way, a Christian who's full of Jesus will be speaking in a way that sounds healing and sounds refreshing and sounds soothing to others. Amen? See, the message of Colossians is that we don't have to manufacture the Christian life. Jesus lives in us, and we simply need to let His supernatural life flow through us and spill out onto others. Amen? See, if we try to live according to our own strength, then we become depleted quickly. Take this bottle here, for example. Take this bottle of water. Once I drink it, that was almost too much. Well, that was good. Once I drink all that water out of that bottle, what do we have? Just a noisy old... Well, that's not very pleasing, is it? It doesn't sound near as good as this going down. Oh, it's got some more in it. Oh, beautiful water. You can't hear it, but it really sounds good going down my throat. Amen? Right? Yeah. Good indicator, right? Yes, yes. Amen, amen. When we think about clay vessels, when we think about empty water bottles, that's a picture of a lot of people who have given of themselves so much. And they say, preacher, there's nothing left. They say, preacher, there's nothing left. But here's the miracle. You ready for the miracle? When you are full of Jesus, there's something left. Amen? When you're full of Jesus, friend, there is something left. Right? He gives you an unending supply of strength and grace. There's always more. When you think you're depleted, you discover there is more. Jesus just keeps giving and giving and giving. See, what is impossible for us is easily possible with God. Do you believe that? Man, that's where the faith's got to kick in. In fact, when you are full of Jesus, you find that He gives more than we can ever merely contain, and we then simply cannot help but overflow onto others. Is it beginning to sink in as we go through these metaphors? See, when you surrender to Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, you truly understand what the Bible means when it says, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. That is an overflowing life. So in the context, the Bible says we should overflow with thankfulness, with gratitude. Do you have a thankful spirit? Do you have a thankful heart? Are you humbly grateful or are you grumbly and hateful? Right? Either or. Ephesians 5:20 says, always give you thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. One of the greatest Bible commentators of all time was a Puritan by the name of Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry. You go to any half-price bookstore, you can find countless commentaries of Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry. Once while on the way home from church, Matthew Henry was accosted by burglars. They took everything he had. They robbed him. Afterwards, this is what he wrote in his journal about the experience. He says, I am thankful that, number one, I've never been robbed before. He says, I'm thankful for, number two, although they took all I had, it wasn't much. Amen? He goes on to write in his journal and says, I'm thankful for number three. They took my money and not my life. Oh, he's not done. He continued to write. He said, I'm thankful for number four. It was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Amen. Friend, we think about it. That's what I call overflowing with thankfulness. Yes? Overflowing with thankfulness. See, if you find something to be thankful for in every situation, you're getting the point. You got to find something to be thankful for. Preacher, I got cancer, man. What am I going to thank the Lord for there? You've met some neat people, haven't you? There's a lot of neat people, a lot of gracious, merciful people that's in that area of the medical profession and field. They have a calling to treat people and to help people with cancer. Your paths have crossed. You've touched their life, and they've touched yours. Amen? You don't have to thank the Lord for the cancer, but you can thank Him for something in the midst of having the cancer. Amen? Yes, yes? Y'all ready for number five? And then I ain't got anything left. Number five's it. Amen? Preacher number five. Let's have it. Number five. A soldier, and here's a little blurb. Friend, don't get caught. A soldier, don't get ambushed. You're a soldier. Don't get taken in by the lie. Look at verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Now, the word captive in my translation, maybe a different word in your translation, that's a military term for a prisoner of war. This military metaphor is often used by the Apostle Paul in his 13 epistles. It's often used in the New Testament, these military metaphors. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6 that we must put on the full armor of God. Amen? All of it. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil, principalities. That's what we're battling. Amen? And we know that a soldier captured by the enemy is what? A soldier captured by the enemy is no longer in the battle, preacher. He's off on the sideline. He's a prisoner of war. However, sadly, there are many believers who are no longer frontline warriors for God because they have been ambushed by the lies of Satan. Deception has always been an effective military strategy. Now, we've all heard the story of the Trojan horse. When the Greek soldiers hid inside a wooden horse, the men of Troy mistook it for a peace offering. Wasn't a peace offering. No, it was the art of deception. And as we think about July 4th, we think about this weekend and our country's historical, blessed military prowess, it would be good for us to remember a deceptive tactic that turned the tide in World War II. What's going on in World War II? Nazis occupied France. Remember that? Had become part of Fortress Europe. And in order to win the war, the Allied forces had to do what? They had to invade Europe, right? Yeah. Operation Overlord was the name of the battle plan that culminated with D-Day. So on June 6, 1944, 155,000 Allied troops went ashore in the face of blistering resistance, and 5,000 of them gave their lives in this attack. The casualties could have been much higher if there had not been an operation in place to fool the Nazis and Hitler about where the attack would happen. The deception plan was called Operation Fortitude. Operation Overlord, Operation Fortitude. The Allies spent several months trying to convince the Nazis the attack would take place from Dover to Pas de Calais. Right? That's about as good as my French is. That's the narrowest part of the English Channel. The Allies created radio traffic, giving orders to a mythical 1st U.S. Army group under the command of none other than General George Patton, because they knew the Germans were listening. To fool the German reconnaissance airplanes, hundreds of decoy tanks made of plywood and inflatable rubber were placed in a staging area near Dover. Real-looking aircraft replicas made of canvas were parked on runways. Plywood barracks were constructed. All this effort to persuade the Germans to keep their eyes on Pas de Calais instead of on Normandy. Well, what does history tell us, preacher? History tells us that the ruse worked, because long after June the 6th, Hitler remained convinced the Normandy landings were a diversionary tactic to induce him to move his troops away from the Pas de Calais so a decisive attack could then be launched there. So what did Hitler do? Hitler kept his 18 best divisions in readiness in the wrong place, friend. In the wrong place. Until the end of July, and by the end of July, it was too late. They kept scanning the horizon. When is the attack going to take place? It happened in Normandy. Amen? Well, the devil is the minister, the master of misdirection. That's what he is. He's the sinister minister of deception. John chapter 8, verse 44 says, "For he is a liar and the what? The father of lies." But you know what John 14, 6 says? Amen? You know what that verse reads? The Word of God says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth. One is the father of lies, the other is the truth." Straight up, flat out, truth and life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. Amen? So friend, don't get ambushed. Don't get taken captive by the lie. Allow Jesus to set you free, and you will be free indeed. Amen? One Sunday morning on their way home from church, a little girl turned to her mother and said, "Mommy, Pastor Stephen, in his sermon, he confused me today." The mother said, What's going on, honey?" "Well, why is that? What did Pastor Lee say this time?" Amen. "What did he say this time?" Little girl replied, she said, "Well," she said, God is bigger than we are." She says, "Mommy, is that true?" The mother replied, "Yes, honey, that's true. Pastor Lee's right." She said, "Well, Mommy, then he also said God lives in us. Is that true, Mommy?" Well, she said, "You know, honey, when you pray to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then yeah, Jesus is living in us." Well, this is what the little girl concluded. She said, "Well, if God is bigger than us and he lives in us, wouldn't he show through?" Yeah. Out of the mouths of babes, right? Shouldn't Jesus be showing through, church? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the honor it is to get to bring a message this holiday weekend to your church. You're the head of. Oh, Lord, we praise you and thank you for it. It's a great honor. Lord, thank you for the freedoms that we have here in this country to proclaim freely and without fear of repercussion. without fear of prison or death. Lord, thank you that we can preach all the Word of God here. In this nation, we can preach it in this church. We praise you and thank you for that. But Lord, there are others that are ensnared. They are entrapped. They are in bondage today. Father God, I pray they'd turn to Christ to be set free, to be free indeed, to live this Christian life, to emulate these five metaphors we've discussed today, so they may bring glory and honor to your name and point people to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. May Jesus show through each of us. And Lord, there may be some here today. They want that. They need that. But Lord, they've not received Christ in them, the hope of glory. And we're praying, Lord, we're praying during this invitation. We're praying for those that are watching online. We're praying that this would be the hour, the moment of their salvation. They would quit kicking down the road any longer, this thing called salvation. And they would get serious about receiving Christ, asking Jesus to forgive them of their sins, inviting Jesus to come into their heart, experiencing that transformative faith that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Father God, I pray if they don't get saved today, there'd be another big old seed sown in the middle of their heart, ready to bust forth and take root. And Lord, if it's not salvation today, it'd be salvation tonight, or salvation tomorrow, or salvation soon. But Lord, we don't know. We don't know how long we get. So Lord, we pray that folks would make that decision today. If they're convicted, if they're being called, if you've pricked their heart, Lord, let them come. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Let's stand together, and Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us in a time of invitation. Thank you, brother, very much. Well, you guys have a safe rest of your 4th of July weekend. Amen? All right. Be good. Yeah, amen. All right. Very good. Did Audrey already bolt out of here? Is Audrey? Audrey, you there, girl? You just got over the shingles? Bless your heart. Are you having the ghost pain yet? It's coming. How long have you been out of it? Yeah, those of you that have had shingles, anybody here? James? James, you know about the ghost pain, don't you? You know about the ghost pain? Amen. Okay. We're going to pray it doesn't come, right? But if it does come, got to go back to the doctor and get you some pain meds, okay? Gabapentin is what they give. And it numbs that. And it's, I hope you don't get it. We're going to pray for her, amen? Let's lift her up. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord, and as we close this time out, we thank you, Lord, that Audrey come to worship with us today, her and her family, Lord. Thank you for them. Lord, it's been a tough couple weeks for her with these shingles. And, Lord, it's just old chicken pox. But, Lord, when it hits us as adults, the second go-around, it is awful. So, Lord, we just pray that you heal her up. We pray, Lord, that she not go through the old ghost pain. That, Father God, you would spare her of that and just allow her to heal up and get past this and move on down the road from it. But, Lord, if it does happen, we pray that that doctor would be cognizant, would give good medical care, and get her the medication she needs to take the edge off. But, Lord, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Give us safety as we depart this place. And, Lord, may we take the Word of God outside these four walls. Thank you for all you do for us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. You folks are dismissed. All right. VBS. Vacation. Bye.